simply by exam. How it is possible? We have an experience that by simply glancing over my wife, I can make her pregnant. No, that is for you, not for Krishna. Not for Krishna. Krishna is the sky in the Brahma Sama. Kangari jasya sakalendriya vitti manti. Each and every part, limb of Krishna, has got the capacity of other parts. We, by our eyes, part of our body, we can simply see. But Krishna, by seeing, can make others pregnant. Very clear. There's no use of sex life, there's no. Simply by Krishna's glancing, maya dhakshena pratiti suyati characharam adhakshena adhi akhena akhamin eyes. By my glancing, maya dhakshena pratiti, the material nature, these things are there in the Bhagavad Gita. We study. Maya dhakshena prakriti shvati gives birth. What kind of birth? Characharam, moving and non moving.
So, the first part of the verse. At the last, in the last part of the Sanskrit, it says, Hey God, I'm Te Tavavikshitai. Tavavikshitai is what Srila Prabhupada was talking about. The akshita. Akshita means to see, to glance. When Krishna glances over material nature, even as Parnadakshaya Vishnu, we know that all that Mahatattva in the Pradhan state, we learn this in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that it comes from his body. But it's not manifest. It's an unmanifest form, kind of like the ingredients of a cake when they're not a cake. And then the drawer or in the closet or in the cupboard. It's not even to that state, because then you still have the separation of the flour and the water and the sugar. It's even before that. It's like when it's still out in the field. It's even before that. It's still in the seed form. And by his glancing over, this is where Advaitacharya said a Shiva. The example is given of the powerhouse. Then there's a wire or a connection to the bulb. The glance is performed by Mahavishnu. But the connection with the bulb, we learn that Vishnu never really interacts with material nature as it is in material nature. So Shiva is the intermediary between the two energies. He carries that energy of spirit to matter and makes matter appear animate. Matter is not animate energy. It's inanimate energy. It's not alive. But the unique illusion is created by that glance that matter has become animated and is alive. His body is alive. It's not really alive. And in it, we're in it, and making it appear alive. When the living entity leaves the body, there's no life, it's just a lump, it's dead, they burn it, they put it in the river, or whatever, the clothes, the bugs, there's no life in it, it's dead now. So the point that Kunti is made, imagine how, what depth of understanding she has, that simply by your glancing over all these things, our kingdom is flourishing in such a beautiful, natural way. Do you have a microphone? When I was discussing with Samapriya about this concept, she came up with something and embedded something that I think we can all relate to. As far as this spiritual glance, so we'll let her share that the other day.
Hare Krishna. I know I'm not alone in this. Many of us have very deep, wonderful glance of Srila Prabhupada. And as we're hearing about Mahavishnu and the potency of spiritual energy, it's Srila Prabhupada glanced at someone, he could immediately feel that this was not an ordinary thing. This was way beyond all the junk in the heart and all the material attachments and the things that disturb us on the external level. Srila Prabhupada bypassed everything and went deep into the heart and awakened the soul. Isn't it? Anybody who's not in a glance and Srila Prabhupada, that's the spiritual energy right there.
If you watch the Prabhupada memory, so many devotees, even if you were in the back of the room, and somehow or another, your connection with Srila Prabhupada, simply through a glance, everybody who had it remembers it for life. It's actually a meaningful event to be looked upon by yourself. So that's a very practical, down-to-earth way that we can understand, first of all, this power of the Lord glancing over material nature, the Aikshita, Pravavikshita.
So ultimately, Krishna, without Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, when he was explaining how to the forms of bhava activity. So he used to explain ultimately Krishna is the bhava.
The way that they transcribe this, you see where the verb activity is in quotes, that's actually misleading. I was listening to this. Dhatu means root. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before he became a sannyasi, remember that he used to explain to his students how in grammar everything relates to Krishna. And later Jiva Goswami derived the whole grammatical science. What is it called? Vyakaran? It's a way to study grammar so that you see that the root always has to deal with Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada is bringing this up. Prabhupada is also expert in Sanskrit. So he's referring to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's concept that even in language, everything that's spoken ultimately can be traced back to its root of Krishna Dhatu.
So, Kunti Devi says, Tini Janapada Sridhya Sukakko Aushadi Vyudha. Everything is sufficient. Now, whatever mentioned here, that the grains are in abundance, the trees are in full of fruit, the rivers are flowing, the fields are full of minerals, and the ocean full of oil. What do you want more? You can take from the ocean that, what is called that, lifestyle and that's medicine. Oyster, right? The oyster produces pearls. Very valuable. If you can collect the oysters, you'll get valuable pearls. One pearl, 10,000. The wealth is there. So, formerly, people used these pearls, the valuable stones, silk, gold, silver, and decorated the body with nice manufactured ornaments, the beautiful body. But where are those things gone? Those things are now gone. Now, but plastic bangles. Advancement of civilization. All these beautiful girls, without any ornament of gold, pearls, and nice jewels, they were plastic diamonds. The sea found. So, what is the use of this industry? Slaughterhouse. You get these, all these things. Have enough food grains, enough milk, enough fruits, cannot vegetables. Clear, nice river water. There is no need of constructing water works. Why? I travel in Europe. Each and every river has become dusty. In Russia, I saw the river. In Germany, I saw the river. In France, also, I saw the river. Next, and also in your country, I've seen that what is the river in New York? Hudson and another. They are creating us by nature's way. Such, just like you see in the ocean, how the water is clear and crystal. By nature's way, it is kept very nice, clear and crystal. And from the ocean, the water is diverted by the process to come into the river, the same water, but it is crystallized without any salt. By nature's way. By nature's way means it's not way. So you take nice water from the river. What is the use of constructing huge water works supplying? Nature has already given it. You get fruits, nice fruits. You get grains, you get milk products, you get silk, you get pearls, you get jewels. Everything is. You want richness, you collect the pearls, you become rich. There's no question to become rich by starting some huge factory producing these motor bodies.
So the next point that he's making, if you go just a little further, it's just positive stuff, is that mankind in his...
Simply by Krishna.
Tendency to lord it over material nature, we go beyond what's provided by nature. What is the use of the big industrial enterprise? What is the value of those? What do they really add to humanity and to civilization and to culture? And we see it practically, especially now, with the way that COVID went around the planet. And you see that, practically speaking, so much of it was like a match of like a house of cards. You tip one or two down at the bottom, and the whole thing comes collapsing. I was watching this documentary on New York City, the greatest city in the whole world. Everybody was so much theater and culture and museums and all kinds of things. But what happened was that they closed it down, and they kept it closed so long that they have one building, the Time Life Building, had over 10,000 people working in that building every day. They were calling, business. But because they couldn't go, everybody had to start to work from home. And a lot of it was computerized or, just able to do their work. And only 850 people are now working in the building. So the companies who are renting that space are thinking, we really need to rent that big space and some of the most expensive real estate on earth to keep our people there and work. And so they're starting to drop their leases, and all those big, huge stores on Fifth Avenue, Saks Fifth Avenue, and all the different jewelry stores, Armani, and all the big high-class stores, nobody's going to. There was another guy in Los Angeles, there was an NFL team. He spent $5 billion to build this huge stadium in Los Angeles. And now the National Football League has informed him that they won't be in the game. He built this huge for nothing. So we'll come back. They'll do it again. They'll get it all together. But it shows and it reveals the superfluous nature of what everybody is doing is so serious. It's unnecessary and causes so much disturbance and emotion. on earth is the genomic. From shortly after Delhi to shortly after Agra. That whole skin, the very genomic comes out of the, from Jama Mochi, comes out of the mountains in the Himalayas, it comes down to Haryana, and used to go to Bengali, now they're vertical. And what happens is the tributaries and the chemical runoff from Delhi comes down to Bengali and the soil and goes to Agra. And we've done studies, there's no life. It's called a dead river. The oxygen level in the water can't support life. There's nothing. There's no fish. There's no grass. There's no seaweed. There's no nothing. There's no life. But because that industry isn't south of Agra, the river clears itself up by the time it gets Prayag and Tridaini. And then because all those minerals and all the water continues in different tributaries coming down to the river, so by the time it gets to the Ganges, the merge of Ganges and Tridaini, it keeps going on to Bihar and into Bengal, it becomes a live river again. So they've actually killed the river by industry. But Halberg's pointing out, and Kumpy's pointing out, that and some of the things that we study, not towards men, when we recently studied Srimad Bhagavatam in depth, it was really an enlightening teacher. When Parikit was born, Maharaj Yudhisthira went to the Brahmin, and at the birth ceremony, he was asking, what is the nature of this child going to be when he gets his child? To see if he would be a worthy ruler. And in that section, there are a lot of purports about monarchy. If the king is a Rajarshi, if he's a saintly personality, then he will manage society in such a way that everyone is peaceful. There's no hunger, there's no cold, there's no disease, there's no anxiety, there's no mental agitation. This is what it was like 40 years ago, 50 years ago. And in such a year, the people lived in harmony with nature. And nature responded in the very beginning of the lecture. So there's full cooperation between trees, animals, human beings, when Krishna is in the center. This is the point. He's the root, and when Krishna is in the center, everything runs smooth. Now, it changes a little. Now that he's established this, he talks about how we should take shelter of that person.
I was glancing. Kunti is expressing that so many beautiful things are there simply by your glance. See, if you simply plead for Krishna's glancing, so there is no question of scarcity, there is no question of need, everything will become. This is Krishna consciousness. You depend on nature's gift by the grace of Krishna. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching. So I depend on Maravi Rakhavi Jayichati. My dear Lord, I simply surrender unto you, depend on you. Now if you like, you can kill me, I'll come give you protection. This is what. And Krishna says in reply, yes, Sarvadhanman Puritaja Mamini Tang Saram Braja Eka. He does not say, yes, you depend on me and depend on your slaughterhouse and factory. No. He says, simply depend on me, one. Ma me kam, saram, aham kva sarva papi bhamukrishna. So I will rescue you from the resultant action of your sinful act because you have lived so many years without being Krishna conscious. You have lived sinful life. The Krishna gives assurance that as soon as one surrenders to Krishna, he immediately squares up all account. All your sinful activities finish now. Finish. Now begin new life. That is called initiation. But don't commit anymore.
so, if you recall, he's like a maestro. He's taking the concepts and presenting them so beautifully. And then, after giving them the assurance, explaining it scientifically, vertically, and practically, now he's putting it into each person's pocket. He's giving it. Here, you take it. This is what you should do. Depend on Christians. After getting that assurance that it's a worthy, that it'll be okay. We always think that we have to do something over and beyond what's natural. There's a kind of our ingrained education, intuitive activity from the beginning of our lives. You gotta work, you gotta make the money, you gotta maintain yourself. And the whole civilization is based on these concepts. And these concepts are an illusion. As we just talked about, how that illusion broke down just after, all that often we talk about how Krishna doesn't have to come to get killed with demons. He can do it with a disease, he can do it with a pandemic, he can do it with a tsunami, he can do it with hurricanes, he can do it with forest fires. So many people are losing everything that they own in the forest fires now. So, but at the same time, he weaves in that there's a responsibility included. When you say, I take shelter of you, then Krishna says, okay, Sarvadhanam Paritya Jamame Kamasaranamavaja Am Kam Sarvapapya Moksharish Animachitaha. I'll take care of you. But you have to give up that mentality of getting it over the material nature and completely depend on who is a better example of that complete dependence. She's lost everything. Her now her children are going to be the emperor of the world. But it's like ash at the end of the yajna. There's no pleasure. There's no real flourishment. And it's like a duty. That's her duty. And her next prayer after this one is therefore, please sever my attachment to all this. There's a nice element to these two verses that we read yesterday and one today. Oh, Gadadhar, Krishna, our kingdom is now being marked by the impression of your feet, and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so. All these cities and villages are flourishing in all respects, because the herbs and grains are in abundance, the trees are full of fruit, the rivers are flowing, the hills are full of minerals, the oceans full of wealth. All this is due to your glancing over them. O Lord of the universal, soul of the universal, personality of the form of the universe, please, Lord, sever my ties for affection for my kingdom, the pandit and the vision. Ekam, mam ekam, seven umbrellas. In our hearts, it's a worthy search and endeavor. To make it right, soft, and surrender completely to Krishna. That's where she's coming from. And that's how we can learn from her. Last one.
Therefore, we take promise from all these apples that now the account is square. Whatever sinful life you live, there is growth without any devil and growth. Now don't commit anymore. That is Namaparaya. If you think that Krishna Nam, the holy name of Krishna, can nullify so many sinful activities, so, if I commit little sinful activity and chant Hare Krishna, it will be nullified. No, don't think that. That is the greatest sin. Namna bala jasati papa buddhi. Anyone who is thinking like that, let me commit some sinful activity, And in the evening I shall chant Hare Krishna, which is your life. So that is the greatest offense. After 10 times of offenses, that is the greatest offense. Namna, Gola, Jasari. Don't take to that process, confession, just as the Christians do. To go to the church and confess. You know? Suppose one confesses, that's all right. And again, does the same simple activity. Then what is the value? Accept. That's why accept. It is fact. If you confess before the Lord, they said, my Lord, out of my ignorance. The sinful activities are done out of ignorance. Not that by planning that I shall commit sinful activities, go to the church and confess, then everything is nullified. Again, do it. New chapter. Simply. That is not ignorance. That is by knowingly, taking advantage of chanting Hare Krishna. So we should be very careful. We promise before taking initiation, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no mistreatment. We should strictly follow. We should strictly follow, then we are clean. Namo. And keeping oneself clean and keeping oneself always engaged in devotional service, his life is success and there is no need, there is no scarcity of anything he wants. Thank you.
Went up to the building and we were paying our basement, we were all so tired because of the long flight, we paid our basement. And the tackle of the power said that she was thinking, here we are, but this Prabhupada really want us to be here, you know? And she looked up and he was looking at us and he was shaking his head. So not only the glance, but that Prabhupada knew. There's so many stories that Prabhupada knew what you were thinking, you know? Like that's just one, there's so many.
You got off the plane, took the taxi, and walked up the stairs, which is where you got to the what a destination.
Reminded me last night, I think it was maybe the night before, the lights went out completely for just time to cook. I couldn't see the lights off, the lights went out, so we had to do a lot of preparation for the dinner, and it was, but then gradually it became very peaceful. There's no light, we lit the candles, we lit the toy for many years, so there was never light, and it was just a very simple, beautiful, not agitated situation, chanted, and just very peaceful. But, you know, it was a little difficult, a little austere, because the lights were not on, and we had to find things in the dark, and look at the matches in the face. But it had a peaceful, it was soon as, well, I knew this was going to happen, as soon as we sat down to take this out, then the lights went on. Everybody was so happy, but I felt like an agitation. As soon as the lights went on, I felt like the very peaceful without the, we're being bombarded every moment of our lives by the external world. It was just a graphic example of how depending completely on the Lord's gifts, the modern civilization has turned the opposite way. Take the gifts, destroy them, and make our own world. I thought that was a very interesting example, a very graphic. Just the electricity came, and all the things that we use electricity for, and how we become so dependent in this lifestyle that we unknowingly we're not using the gifts of the Lord. We're not taking advantage of that peaceful atmosphere of just simple living.
There's a nice documentary you might check out. It's called Grounded. It's about how when you actually step on Mother Earth with your bare feet, there's a connection that happens. And there's that whole sound brought out in the documentary. And the narrator and the scientist are pointing out that human civilization around the world has practically lost that connection to everybody wears shoes all the time. So that she's just reminding me, you know, when do you get that moment? It's rare now to have a moment where all of a sudden you're just in nature. Maybe it's useful to be quiet. You can do it. It's a rare first time. The other day when we were at the springs and it was raining, nobody was there.
I like what Prabhupada said in his lecture. He said, simply we have to plead with Krishna's glance.
not very surprising. The spiritual master is not God, but he is so intimate as a servitor of God that the Lord shares his opulence with such a pure devotion. This would be the expression of my own speech to the devotees and his emphasis on it. We are so used to thinking the way we think. So if something actually happens that follows the line of Shastra, why is that so incredible?
Everyone glances at it.
Oh,
he is in Delhi, temple program. The Prabhupada is giving lecture in Vaidyakumara of the city next to you. You are in India, so you can understand. There is like a sweet board, you know, on the floor. So he's sitting there, and Prabhupada is on the stage. His minister started speaking all nonsense, Maharaj. And Vaidyatha Maharaj looked at Prabhupada, looked at him. That's all, nothing discussing. He turned on the switch of the industrial fan. Are you familiar with it? Ah, like a big sound. And nobody could hear anything what this minister is talking. And Prabhupada, he noticed the Prabhupada smile. After he finished it, the Prabhupada looked at him again and turned it off. The Prabhupada smiled again.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful.